For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
This morning with prayer, as we come around the precious Word of God, very precious in our sight, and something to always be believed. Heavenly Father, we praise you, we thank you, for giving your word. We thank you, Lord, that it is that word of faith which produces faith in us. And Lord, we ask that it be clear to us and that by the Holy Ghost we are shown the truth in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. This morning I'm looking at the topic, A Broken Heart to Believe God. Now, when we think of the term broken heart, in our society we often think of that term in a negative sense. Oh, her heart was broken by such and such, and so on. But in these scriptures there's two meanings to the words broken heart or broken spirit. And we're going to be looking at mainly the positive side of it, because people can have a broken heart, which is a heart that doesn't work properly. Okay, it doesn't work properly before the Lord. But in the other sense, in the positive sense, a broken heart is a heart that is broken up in terms of all the hardness has been broken up to get it out and to get it ploughed ready for the Word of God. And that's the sense that we're going to be looking at today. So we need that good type of brokenness in our heart. That good type of brokenness in our heart is what will enable the Word of God to be able to produce fruit, good fruit, in our heart. Let's have a look at Psalm 119, verse 38. We want to, first of all, as we have been establishing over the last few weeks, first of all look at the fact that God does not want in his people unbelief and hardness of heart. He does not want in his people that type of heart at all. And Psalm 119, we'll look at verse 38, tells us the attitude we must have towards the Word of God if we are to have a heart that is tender before the Lord. Tender is the same as saying a soft heart or softness, a heart that doesn't have hardness in it. If it's tender, a tender heart, the scripture does use that term. Psalm 119 verse 38 says, establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear, who is devoted to thy fear. Notice the word devoted there, and that word tells us that it's more than just, oh yes, it's something I look at every so often. It's much more than that. Devoted means you put your time, your effort to having the fear of the Lord in your life. We looked at last week the fact that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and the very thing that was at the top of that list was pride. Pride, arrogancy, the evil way. We know that pride is not going to enable your heart to be soft or tender before the Lord. Pride will harden your heart because it resists the Word of God. It resists the Word of God. And this is a major problem right across the church today. The people of God have been resisting the things of God and have been receiving the wrong types of words, the words of thorns and thistles, and that type of thing has come up right across the body of Christ. Now, what has to happen, obviously, is that when Christ returns, he's going to return for a word-washed, clean type of church, and we see that in Ephesians 5. We won't turn to that. But he's got to have a people that are devoted to the fear of the Lord. Why? Because, as it says there, he has to have his word established in them. There has to be that foundational strength within his people, because there is a task ahead that has to be done, and that's the harvest of souls before Christ returns, a great, enormous harvest. We're not just talking about, oh yes, there's a small pocket of people getting saved, but huge numbers of people coming to the Lord prior to the translation of the saints. So we know that there has to be a people that are devoted to the fear of the Lord. They're devoted to that fear. And so the word of God can be established in their lives foundationally. Praise the Lord. Now, let's have a look at 2 Chronicles 36. We've looked at some of this before, but it's well worth looking at again, because how does the Lord deal with his people? How does he deal with his people? He wants to get something to them. What does he do? Well, the Bible's very clear what he does. He sends his word, and he sends his word via preachers and messengers and prophets and ministers of God. He sends his word to people, and it's the way they respond that's going to determine what's going to happen in their lives and what's going to happen in their society. Now, of course, as we know, the word of God is going forth now to the body of Christ, saying, do not compromise with the world. The world is at enmity with God. You cannot compromise. You cannot be conformed to the world. Do not allow it into your midst, because that's going to do things that are not what I want done in the earth. Now, 2 Chronicles 36, 14 to 16. And it says, moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. So you can see that the people were transgressing after the abominations of the heathen. So they were following after that wrong thing. You know, Jesus said that which is highly esteemed amongst men is abomination to God. Abomination. Well, if it's abomination to God, it should be abomination to you too. And so if the heathen abominations are stench in the nostrils of God, it should be stench in our nostrils as well. It should be something that we want to avoid completely. You don't want to be hanging around a garbage tip, do you, and make your house in that? No, of course not. You know, this is something to understand. But notice the word polluted, and polluted the house of the Lord. Now, that's a strong word too. Do you think that the house of the Lord across the earth has been polluted today? Yeah, certainly it has, right across, because there's been, oh, we'll go after the abominations of the heathen. And this is not a joke. This is reality. This is what has happened. Because when you look worldwide, you look planet-wide, you see a fractured, rebellious type of church right across the earth today. Let's continue on. Verse 15 says, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people, on his dwelling place. So if you think about it, if people go after the abomination of the heathen, and pollute the house of the Lord, what's going to happen if that continues? It's going to be judgment. Judgment comes upon sin. But before that happens, what does God do? He has compassion on his people. He wants to, what does he want to do? He wants to give a warning, doesn't he? He wants to send his word saying, this is the way, walk in this way. And what do people have to do? They have to respond in faith and say, yes, I acknowledge you are correct, you are right, Lord. But what happened? What happened here in verse 16? But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. No remedy means there was no way they could avoid the judgment. And why? Because they mocked, they despised, they misused. So here's a great warning. It's a warning even in our days, not to mock the messengers of God, not to despise the words of God, and not to misuse his prophets and ministers. Very important to understand this, because it is a warning for today's church now. It's going out. So you can see that when people approach the Word of God, they can approach it in unbelief. They can despise it merely by ignoring it. God sends a message. You think this is God. This is God Almighty sending a message to his people. And what do? They despise it. Despise it. Terrible situation. God hates that type of thing. And Hebrews 3 verse 12. Look at Hebrews 3 verse 12. Also shows us what God hates, which is connected to what I've just gone through. Hebrews 3. And we'll look at verse 12 and 13. Because here we see some key words that we need to understand. Verse 12 of Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3, verse 12 and 13 is what we want to look at. Take heed, brethren. He's talking to the people of God. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So we see here that God sees a heart of unbelief as evil. That's evil. Remember, if God sees something as an abomination or evil, what should we see it as? Abomination or evil, okay? So unbelief, think about that word unbelief. Unbelief means not believing. Not believing. What are they not believing? They're not believing the words of God. They're believing something over and above the words of God, or they're putting things in place of God's word. So God does not want in his people, because he's talking to the brethren here, does not want in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. So that applies to every single Christian. He does not want in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. If you depart from the living God, living means life and strength and power and faith. You depart from that, you get exactly the opposite. You start to go into deadness and curse. Notice what he says in verse 13, but exhort one another daily. This is so important that you have to exhort. People have to be exposed to exhortation about it daily. Daily. See, we're living in a fallen world. We're not of that. We're not supposed to be linked to it in terms of spiritually linked to it, because we are walking along the lines of the kingdom of God. Along the lines of the Word of God. But he's saying here, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, whilst you can, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin, and that includes unbelief, sin can cause you to be hardened, can cause your heart to be hardened. What's the problem with your heart being hardened? It is resistant to the Word of God coming in. And if it's resistant to the seed of the Word of God being planted in you, what does that mean? Are you able to have a good harvest? Are you able to get a good reaping? No. You have to have good heart in order to have that good reaping. So hardness of heart is a major problem. Jesus rebuked his disciples. Let's have a look at in Mark 16 verse 14. He rebuked his disciples about this very area because they would not believe. The Bible tells us, and we're not reading, we're not going to turn to it, but in Revelation 3, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, Jesus says. Why? Because he's not going to have his people going the wrong way without them being warned, without them having a rebuke if necessary. So in Mark 16, verse 14, we see Jesus speaking, Jesus doing something here that is very, very important for us to get hold of. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now remember, Jesus had told them that this was going to happen. And so there was unbelief, as it says there, unbelief and hardness of heart. Jesus upbraided them, and that's strong rebuke there, with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Was Jesus happy with that situation? Not at all. And he's not happy with it today either. He's not happy with unbelief and hardness of heart. So, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? Well, I mentioned right at the very beginning, we need to be devoted to the fear of the Lord. We need to be people that are devoted to the fear of the Lord so that God's word can be established in our lives. And it's as simple as us making the right decisions. I'm choosing to believe what God has to say. Now, it's important for us to see that there are two types in Scripture, two types of broken heart. Well, let's have a look at the bad type, just briefly. Psalm 69, verse 20. Let's have a look at that. Psalm 69, verse 20. Because, you know, we have to be people that divide the word properly. There is a good hate, for example, and there's a bad hate. It is good to hate evil. It is bad to hate your brother and sister. So you can say there's a good hate and a bad hate. There's a good love and a bad love. It is good to love God, good to love the brethren. Okay? It is bad to love the world. Can you see? That's rightly dividing the word of God. There is a good coveting and a bad coveting. And I could go through many, many examples. So there is a good broken heart. There is a bad broken heart. We'll look at the bad broken heart. Psalm 69 verse 20. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. So this is the type of broken heart where people have suffered a lot of, as it says there, reproach, and they're full of heaviness. You could might even say coming into depression, things like that. And they wanted people to take pity on them, but there was none around. That's the bad type of broken heart, okay? We see a lot of that type of thing right across the world today. It's a major problem. But of course, we shouldn't be like that, because the Bible says, let not your heart be what? Troubled. And why? Because Jesus has given his peace. And also the chastisement of our peace was upon him. So we can see that God doesn't want us to have that type of broken heart. A heart that's not working, that's filled with all the wrong type of thinking and thoughts and heaviness and wanting people to have pity on you and all that type of thing. So that's important to see that. Also, if you look at Proverbs 17 verse 22, Proverbs 17 22 is one we know quite well, and we're looking at, this is the type of broken heart or broken spirit that you don't want. In Proverbs 17 verse 22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. So we see a merry heart no doubt has the right types of thinking and the joy of the Lord in it, and so it doeth good like a medicine. And just as an aside there, you can see God's not against medicine, is he? Okay, but we could talk a lot more about that. But a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. So that broken spirit, the broken heart, is like the one we just looked at in Psalm 69 verse 20. Okay, let's look at and concentrate now on the good type of broken heart, the type that's going to do something to break up that hardness in people's hearts, so that our heart is now like that good soil that's broken up, ploughed up, okay, the hardness out of it, and it's able to receive the good seed of the Word of God. If you look at Psalm 34 verse 18, Psalm 34 verse 18, first of all, and God looks upon this type of heart in a good way, and he wants this type of heart in his people, because he does not want, as we saw before, he does not want hardness of heart in his people. And believe, you know, it is a major problem, this hardness of heart and unbelief, right across the body of Christ, right across, in fact, right across this planet now. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and such, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So we see the connection there, a broken heart, contrite or humble type of spirit. And humility talks about softness and tenderness towards the things of God, able to receive the things of God. If you're a humble person, you will say, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. And you are right, Lord. And I receive your word, Lord, as truth. And I decide for you and to go your way. That's what a contrite spirit is all about. And notice it says he's nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, that type of broken heart that doesn't have hardness. What does it say about those with pride? It says the proud are afar off. Can you see? So there's the big difference. Those who are full of pride or have pride in them, the proud, they have hardness of heart. They're afar off from the Lord. They're far out away. But those that are of a broken heart, that is, their heart doesn't have that hardness in it, it says that he is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth. So his salvation power is an activation. Saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Praise the Lord. And this is important for us to get hold of, because the contrite, the humble, are close to God. close to God. And we see that also in the next scripture. Psalm 51, verse 17. Let's look at that. Psalm 51, verse 17. So, what we read here is the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, and notice it's got a colon there, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Let me read this again. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So you can see this is talking about a broken heart, a broken spirit in the positive sense. The positive sense. As in, all hardness has been broken up. All hardness has been broken up, and the heart is of a contrite, a humble type of heart. God will not despise that type of heart. And in fact, as we know, those that have the opposite to this, that is hardness of heart and unbelief, what do they do with the word of God? They despise the word of God. But those that have a broken and a contrite heart, what do they do with the word of God? They receive the word of God, don't they? They receive it. They receive it. They believe it. They receive it. And it's able to be received, and it's able to produce things in that person. It's able to produce good things, because it says, thou wilt not despise. In other words, God's going to look at it favourably. It's going to be the favour of God upon that type of person. And notice it says sacrifices of God. So here's a sacrifice of God that is a good sacrifice before the Lord, to have that type of heart before him. To have a heart that is devoted to the fear of the Lord, devoted to God's fear, and that's a very, very important thing for us to understand. So the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So take this, as we go forward, take this whole idea of all hardness broken up, so that you can have a tender, soft, contrite heart, as so very important if you want results in the Lord. If you want results in the Lord. I know in the past, myself, and I'm just talking about myself here, that you know I had to get hardness and pride at certain times in my life out before there could be any significant results happening. And it's bowing the knee to the Lord and saying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Praise God. So see that that's a good sacrifice for the Lord. Glory to God. Have a look at Hosea 10. We'll look at verses 12 and 13. Hosea 10, verses 12 and 13. Before the book of Joel. So as Hosea 10, look at verse 12. Starting verse 12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have ploughed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. So here we see a contrast of two ways. Verse 13 talks about what they have been doing. They were ploughing wickedness, reaping iniquity, eating the fruit of lies. What were they doing? Because they trusted in their own way, didn't they? They trusted in their own way, and in the multitude of thy mighty men, they trusted in man. All right. Now, it's important for us to see there's the way of the Lord and the way of the man or men, the world. We must always put God first. Always. 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 It doesn't matter what the situation you come up to. You must always put God first. And God will be nigh to you. He'll meet you in your hour of need or trouble if you always put him first. And verse 12 talks about making sure that your life is able to reap good things. You don't want to wait until the trouble comes before you start sowing. Okay? You don't want, it's like the man waiting until famine before he starts sowing to get a crop. You can't do that. If you want success in your life, if you want to be a person that is going to be used of the Lord, this is what you need to do. Verse 12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, in the right way of doing it, the right things to be sown, the right things to be done. Okay, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. It's the type of things you're going to be able to reap in mercy, and you'll get mercy for yourselves as well. Break up your fallow ground. Fallow ground is ground that hasn't been planted in. Okay, now a lot of people's fallow ground of the heart, the Bible talks about the ground of the heart, can't be sown in because it's hard. There's hardness there, or there's thorns and thistles there that need to be taken out of that heart. So there has to be a breaking up of the fallow ground. Notice what it says, for it is time to seek the Lord. You seek the Lord through his word, through prayer, through bad, you know, you need to put time for the Lord and his things. Time for him. You know, I talked about last week putting godly habits into your life so that you can reap godly things. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Okay, so there is a blessed rain that can come into your life. A blessed rain that can come into your life and give that good, wonderful harvest. So here they've been sowing in righteousness, been breaking up the fallow ground so that they can sow, and seeking the Lord. And God will be able to rain, and out of that rain will come up a harvest, praise the Lord, because the seed has got good, that good rain coming onto it. So we don't want to be people that reap iniquity. There's plenty of people all around us that's happening too and will happen too, because they've been ploughing and sowing wickedness and eating the fruit of lies. Well, how can you eat the fruit of lies unless you've been sowing lies? You see what I mean? Sowing deceit. That's not the way to go. That's the world's way. We have a way of holiness. We have the way of righteousness, the good way. And that's the way we've got to be, so that our hearts before the Lord are tender. So let's look at a scripture that talks about a tender heart. Look at 2 Chronicles 34, verse 27. Chronicles 34, verse 27. So a tender heart is the opposite of a hard heart, isn't it? A tender heart is a broken heart and contrite spirit before the Lord, to believe the Lord, to take hold of his word and say, Lord, your word means something to me. I am devoted to your fear. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And that sin that's on the top of the list of hating evil is pride. Pride has to be hated by us if you are to be devoted to the fear of the Lord. So one of the really important things to do is to get pride right out of your vocabulary. Don't talk pride. And it's best not to say, oh, I'm proud of that, but to say, I'm pleased with that, or something like that. But get pride out of your vocabulary, get it out of your thinking, get it out of your heart. So looking at 2 Chronicles 34, verse 27, and says here, because thine heart was tender and thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. So here we see that if your heart is tender and you humble yourself before God, okay, and hear God's words, what will happen? God will be able to meet you. He'll be able to hear you. He'll be able to do things for you and in your life. So a tender heart's very important before God. A heart that is broken before the Lord. A heart that doesn't resist the things of God. And we'll finish with Luke 8, 13 to 15. So this has been a teaching session this morning, and I think it's been very important because this is a major problem in the body of Christ today. A major problem that needs to be addressed. Now we in this church can have it addressed so that we understand that if we're to get anything of blessing in our lives and in our society, in our circumstance and so on, it must be through us having a contrite, broken heart before the Lord, a tender heart that is able to receive the things of God. Luke 8, starting verse 13, we'll go to verse 15. And it's talking about the parable of the sower. And notice verse 13 talks about the heart that's hard. Because it says, they on the rock are they which, when they receive the word, well, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell upon thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So you can see the good heart is not resistant to the word of the Lord, and not only does it hear it, but it keeps it and brings forth fruit. So there's a harvest attached to that with patience. Brings forth fruit with patience. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for this timely word to us to understand this very important area of having a contrite heart before you and being humble before you. And Lord, we choose even today, we choose to be devoted to the fear of the Lord, that your word be established in our lives. Father, we love you and thank you and praise you. We honour you. We honour you today. We honour the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, our Saviour, our Lord, not just the Lord in name only, but Lord indeed in our lives. And we choose to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ willingly. I pray every person here be open to you not just today, but continually, Lord. An openness to receive in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.